This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, presented by Hooters. Hooters, the original wing joint since 1983. Go boneless, 10 boneless wings shaken in one of Hooters' signature sauces with a side of fries for only $9.99 all day, every day. And if you're looking for everyday value, how about those lunch specials every day, starting at $6? Hooters is the presenting sponsor of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. We'll, of course, have the lovely multi-year calendar girl, Brooke, at my next golf tournament. That'll be on October 22nd. You can register yourself, your twosome, your threesome, or your foursome for the limited tee times I have left at joebucksfan.com/golf. We'll be teeing it up at the Eagles Golf Club on Sunday, October 22nd, and Brooke, Hooters calendar girl, will be there with me. Find your location at originalhooters.com. For those of you outside the greater Tampa Bay area, just think about your last visit to Hooters and think about your nearest Hooters location. You probably can do so rather easily. All right, remember my email address. More and more of you are using it. Every single one of you is getting a response. I enjoy the back and forth on email. I even told my pal, Gil Alexander from VEASAN on Sirius XM, where I make every Thursday I make an appearance, and we pack as much fantasy football, reality football, even some hockey in there on the Thursday appearance on the Gil Alexander Show. My appearance is generally at 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time, 7:30 a.m. Pacific, on VEASAN, on Sirius XM. And I told Gil, said, just give people my email address. Forget the social media stuff. Let's do this one-on-one, all right? If you have any questions unique to your fantasy football situation, and so many of you are running by me trade offers, and I love this. But whether it's an ad drop or it's your roster situation as relates to bye weeks or you're disappointed in someone you have and you're wondering if they're worth rostering or you move them out of the lineup for a week, any of those questions, and please send me daily questions because I play multiple daily games a week, almost always on DraftKings, just my preference. Here's the email you use. Email me. Todd Wright Fantasy Football at gmail.com. The emails have been great, and I hope I've given you even more than you expected on the response via email. Don't hesitate to email me. Now, at the same time, if it's within 15 minutes of kickoff of a particular game, I'm probably not going to be able to get back to you in time for that decision. So try to give me a little bit of lead time and know that you'll probably get more of a response either in the morning or in the evening, because I think most of you know me well enough to know from late morning until sunset, I'm usually on the golf course. I've even gone Billy Bean for fantasy football on Sundays, where I stay active with fantasy football stuff until the games start, and then I go away. I go play golf, I DVR Red Zone, and then I come back, start watching some live action, middle of the late afternoon window, then into the night, and then go to bed watching Red Zone on DVR and putting together that Monday podcast that so many of you are enjoying as well. All right? So again, the email is toddwrightfantasyfootball@gmail.com. Use it. I will respond to you. All right, let's just let's take a look at some matchups. Bye weeks, you got to be smart enough by now to know the bye weeks are kicking in. If it doesn't affect you this week, congratulations. You're probably going to get hammered next week or the week after. Most of you are probably affected this week. I'm going to get hammered next week, losing my top two running backs in the same week. The only thing I can tell you on a bye week is try to make it work for you. Don't overreact to your bye week situation. Let other owners overreact and maybe drop a player that they otherwise wouldn't drop, who has roster value, just because they feel the need to pick somebody up and plug and play. You know, I know some situations are unique and you may have to pick somebody up. If so, then your roster isn't necessarily that balanced. But for a lot of season-long leagues where you aren't required to must carry two quarterbacks, must carry two tight ends, must carry two kickers, must carry two DSTs, and I think we've trended away from that. You know, obviously, I'll give you my situation this week. The guy I'm missing is Matt Bryant. I only carry one kicker. So I knew I'd be without Matt Bryant this week, and that's really the only true starter that I'm without. I'm not even worried about picking up a kicker until Sunday morning, and then I'll just pick one. I know it's just a matter of a few points here or there, especially since I implemented kicker limitations on their scoring. I've talked about that before, and it's just not that significant. I'm not going to drop a significant player off my team just to pick up a second kicker. At the same time, I have no reason to cut Matt Bryant. We have a more of a premium on accuracy in my league with my new kicker rules implemented for this year. I like Matt Bryant's accuracy. I like how he is used in the Atlanta offense. So while many people cut a Matt Bryant this week, no guarantee you pick him back up. But I get it. But no, I decided a long time ago that's the kicker I want this year. He doesn't miss a lot of kicks. The Falcons feel very comfortable trotting him out there in virtually any situation, and the Falcons offense scores their share of points. But make a bye week. Try to work for your advantage. Someone in your league's probably going to cut somebody that they otherwise wouldn't cut because they're trying to put together a starting lineup around certain bye week performers. Matchups. All right, early games. Arizona-Philadelphia. Carson Wentz's fantasy production is down the last couple of weeks. Carson Palmer, I believe, is second in passing yards in the NFL behind only Tom Brady going into week five. So from the Philly standpoint, Alshon Jeffrey gets the death blow. Seinfeld fans, thank you. This week, in terms of facing Patrick Peterson, that'll hurt Carson Wentz. It'll hurt Alshon Jeffrey. Shouldn't hurt Zach Ertz, who just continues to absorb a lot of the targets that Jordan Matthews used to get in this offense. Doesn't look like a Corey Blunt game, more of a Wendell Smallwood game. Although, I'm not buying Smallwood for long-term, but short-term, if you're streaming him this week on a bye week, let's say you got Tevin Coleman, can't play him, nobody else really on the bench, you picked up Smallwood, I get it, you're going to play Smallwood. From the Arizona standpoint, Carson Palmer should be productive this week. I know it was only one touchdown last week on the last play of the game in overtime, but the yardage is there. The volume is there. Arizona can't and won't run the ball without David Johnson. Andre Ellington is sort of their James White. He is more of a PPR performer. So he's fine if you're looking for a bargain in daily, but he's not going to run the ball that much. And Jaron Brown really has emerged as the number two target in the Arizona offense, but it's a clear second behind the always wide receiver one in Larry Fitzgerald. Steelers and Jaguars. Factoring in the Jaguars' quality cornerbacks, no, you're not sitting Antonio Brown. All of you in the fantasy world know there are certain players that you simply don't sit, regardless of their matchup, and Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell are two of them. Expectations for Big Ben should be down a little bit this week, even though it is a home game. Martavis Bryant, I'm not surprised, but those who drafted him in season-long leagues, I sense they're trying to sell high on this guy and dump him on other owners. Don't go for it. This is not a Martavis Bryant game here. There just seems to be a lot of tension right now in the Steelers for various reasons. Juju Smith-Schuster seems to be becoming a bit of a factor. I don't like Martavis Bryant at all right now. Le'Veon Bell, clearly you're playing him in this game, and you might be very happy with what you get. Now remember, Bell had the slow start last year with the three-game suspension, slow start this year because he wasn't in training camp for a while. But it's coming, and it should be pretty strong for Le'Veon Bell, which is why he's considered one of the top two running backs in fantasy annually. Leonard Fournette's volume. I mean, you're getting two things out of Leonard Fournette every week: volume and the end zone. No complaints there. I am not someone who touches Jaguars in season long, and rarely in daily. But we're into week five, and Fournette has been about as consistent. I mean, below the surface of what Kareem Hunt has done, Fournette stands out with his consistency week to week. Beyond that, I don't really see any other Jaguars worth playing based on Blake Bortles and that passing game and no real clarity in any particular wide receiver or tight end. For the LA Clippers / Chargers in their game against the Giants, I actually expect a lot of points in this game. Evan Silva doesn't think the matchup is as favorable for Phillip Rivers and the Charger passing game against the Giants, but I think this is just one of those where that's all the Chargers can really do is throw it, throw it, throw it, throw it. And this could be one of those typical Phillip Rivers games where you get the good and the bad in him, but by the end of it, there's going to be fantasy production on the Chargers' side, even though the Giants have quality defensive backs. You're not sitting Keenan Allen in this matchup. You can't expect Tyrell Williams to go off like he finally did last week, but his targets should still be there. This is a game where one of the other the Charger tight ends could get loose. Maybe one or both of them put up some fantasy points. And while the Giants have lost every game they've played, that passing game is fantasy relevant. Eli Manning is fantasy relevant. Maybe even as a QB streamer this week, if you're losing Matt Ryan on a bye week or Drew Brees on a bye week. Brandon Marshall, who I and many gave up on, after the first couple of weeks, his targets are up. This is a quick strike passing offense. I mean, Eli gives up on some plays pretty quickly, but he's getting the ball out fast. And the return of Beckham has elevated Marshall back to at least consideration. And Evan Engram is a tight end every week, worth a look in daily or worth you owning if you have room on your roster. The Giant running game is still insignificant, but Wayne Gallman actually looks like he can play in this league, which is more than I can say for some of the Giant running backs the last couple of years. Melvin Gordon, I own him, and I don't know what to tell you. The rushing part of Gordon's game isn't there right now. The thought is that his knee isn't healthy enough for a full green light. He just had 11 touches last week. The Chargers, this is already looks like a lost season. So You're hopeful that Gordon still has some good games in him, and that the Chargers easing off him the last couple of weeks is good for him long term. Let's see what comes out of this game. I'm not going to play him this week. I'm not. I'm looking for him to get a good game, and to show that he can do some things in the running game. I mean, this is actually a game where the Chargers might want to use him in the running game because the pass matchup isn't that great. But I'm not optimistic with Gordon. I'm just sort of wait and see. Bills and Bengals. Points should be at a real premium in this one. But let's talk about Charles Clay. This is a tight end that every week is worth playing. He's worth tight end streamer action. He's worth DFS action. His results are better than McCoy each week. Tyrod Taylor, not a quarterback you want to play anyway, although this matchup lends itself maybe to a Tyrod Taylor rushing touchdown or two. Clay has been the fantasy highlight for the Buffalo Bills. For the Bengals, at least they've gotten A.J. Green going the last couple of weeks. If you're a Joe Mixon owner, good luck. Another week sets up potentially well for Joe Mixon, but he might just not be as good as you thought he was, or at least not ready to have instant impact in the NFL. Tennessee and Miami. Ugh. All right, let's see if we can make some sense of this. Tennessee had 57 hung on them last week by Deshaun Watson and the Texans. The Dolphins have been, pardon my language, dog shit for the last 2 weeks. If you drafted Jay Ajayi, you know, this should be a game where you get something out of Ajayi. But if you got a better option, I don't blame you playing him here. I mean, just that's the way it's going in Miami. The game actually sets up better for Devontae Parker and Jarvis Landry, but there are no guarantees there either. Jarvis Landry has 4 touchdowns his last 25 games, and even though he leads the Dolphins in targets, nothing's really happening there. Gase isn't pulling Cutler. That's on you. If you want to play a Dolphin this week, you go right ahead. I wouldn't do it. As far as Tennessee, I know many people are down on DeMarco Murray, as it looks more and more to be close to a 50-50 timeshare with Derrick Henry. And Derrick Henry owners are saying, well, great, but why aren't my points going up? And then you factor in the Mariota injury. You're going to have to monitor that all week. Matt Castle is out there. That's awful. Nobody wants to see a Matt Castle versus Jay Cutler quarterback game. I wouldn't be dumping DeMarco Murray. I wouldn't be dumping Jay Ajayi. I just don't think you expect very much from them this week. And if you get something from them this week, then you make a decision next week or going forward on what you're going to do. But I understand your frustration, even though I own neither of these guys and haven't been playing them in daily. San Francisco, Indianapolis. Indy kind of had the win go knocked out of him by Seattle in the second half last week. The whole Jacoby Brissett actually making the Colts relevant again, I just seemed to hit a wall. But Brissett might have a good game against the Niners defense because, well, who doesn't? That said, this could be a game where those of you who've been hanging in there with Pierre Garçon might get a payoff, or it might be a daily play you can consider. Hyde, Breida for San Francisco. Same thing, they're fantasy relevant this week. T.Y. Hilton should give you wide receiver 2 or at least flex production this week. Carolina, Detroit. Winning teams, but it's not a good matchup for a lot of fantasy performers. Matt Stafford's fantasy production is off. Golden Tate's is up and down. Abdul is kind of the highlight in this game for the Lions. If you own Abdullah. You've been playing him in daily. You've been getting a lot more than most expected. And I'd ride him again this week. I've been down on Christian McCaffrey ever since Carolina drafted him. And I have no reason to change my thought on that. Sure, in PPR leagues or in daily, you're going to get receptions out of him. But I think he has one touch inside the 10-yard line. We're in week five. That said, Jonathan Stewart's volume isn't there. It's kind of a, I don't want either one of them in the Stewart versus McCaffrey thing. Devin Funchess and Kelvin Benjamin are worth considering this week. You do have the Darius Slay factor, but Benjamin is in play and Funchess off a 2-touchdown game last week, albeit against the bad Patriot defense. Jets and Browns. Jets got big games last week from Robbie Anderson, from Bilal Powell. Elijah McGuire has been popping up on some waiver wires. Josh McCown is facing a Browns defense that should give McCown an opportunity to put up some numbers. I'm not telling you to pick up McCown and stream him if you own a quarterback on a bye week. The matchup is good. Jets could win their third game here. This is also a week where I know many of you who have drafted Isaiah Crowell to be an RB2 have either given up or you are about to give up. Hugh Jackson defended Isaiah Crowell, said it's Hugh Jackson's fault, but still the numbers don't lie. I still think there's something to come from Isaiah Crowell this year. Might be in a game like, if it's not in a game like this, then yeah, maybe it isn't going to happen. Duke Johnson just seems a little more versatile right now. And game flow is certainly hurting Crowell in terms of his volume. The Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast is presented by Hooters. $15 gets you a bucket of 5 Corona, Corona Light, or Modelo bottles. And remember, 1 full pound of snow crab legs ready for dipping in sweet butter for only $12.99. Hot wings, cold beer, summer seafood. I know it's fall, but it's always summer at Hooters. And that's Hooters style. 12 Tampa Bay area locations. Find your location at originalhooters.com. Late games on Sunday. Seahawks and the Rams. Russell Wilson. Wow. He's number 4 in terms of fantasy scoring at the quarterback position. Yeah, the only guys higher than him are, I believe, Brady Rodgers and, at least the last few weeks, Deshaun Watson. Not bad. So Russell Wilson's back in play as an every-week fantasy quarterback, especially because Seattle still hasn't solved anything in their rushing game with Chris Carson's injury. The coaches are talking up Thomas Rawls again, and I've heard this before, and I don't buy it anymore. I think the Seahawks just are going to look for a hot hand in a game and go with it. And they don't know what they have and are just hoping for the best. It's not a fantasy-relevant situation. Doug Baldwin looks like he's going to go this week. They managed his injury last week. And it looks like it's going to pay off. Might not be in there every play, but he should play. And with the matchup, Lockett and Richardson might be in consideration for a streamer if you're desperate, or flex play this week, or a good daily bargain if you're playing the late games. Gurley more than Goff this week, based on the matchup. Seattle is giving up yards on the ground. And Gurley has been outstanding. Gurley should be able to translate some of those pass catches into yardage because he's not facing coverage, your normal pass coverage. He's coming out of the backfield. Gurley's not at a point now we're even thinking about sitting him based on a matchup. Other late games. Baltimore and Oakland's a real dog. Marshawn Lynch has been a disappointment, But what we hear is that the Raiders were going to limit how they used him. Okay? But in an E.J. Manuel quarterback game and in a matchup where the Ravens' pass defense clearly is their strength, if you're not going to get beast mode out of Lynch this week, I don't know that he's worth keeping. And I know many of you drafted him to be a fringe RB1/2, right there on the edge. If it doesn't happen this week, basically he's become Isaiah Crowell. And I know the Raiders are a better team than the Browns, but 5 weeks in, you got to see something. It's got to justify the roster spot, especially if you can do something else with that roster spot or at that position. Alex Collins, a number of you have been looking at that the last couple weeks on the waiver wire. I compare Collins to a mop-up reliever on a baseball team that is down 7-1 in the fourth inning and the manager's just trying to save the bullpen for the next day. That's what Collins is until further notice, and he has fumble issues. Jeremy Maclin looks like he might be done. The Ravens, as bad as Flacco is, he doesn't have anything to throw to. The Ravens have not evaluated properly wide receiver targets, and some would say running backs in recent years. I don't know what's going on in this personnel department. Ben Watson might be the only Raven worth playing, and that's a tight end play because his targets are up and the matchup isn't bad. But there's not a lot to like in this game. Michael Crabtree is practicing, but even if Michael Crabtree had a good bill of health and you're dealing with Amari Cooper on the drops, let's remind you, E.J. Manuel is the quarterback. Dallas and Green Bay could get a lot of points in this game from Dak, from Ezekiel Elliott. It's finally a matchup that Dez Bryant looks like he should get the better of after four straight weeks of tough man-to-man coverage. Bryant is just not making enough of his targets. And this game is one where the matchup is more favorable. On the Green Bay side, if you can find me a receiver more consistent than Jordy Nelson, I'd like to know who he is. Last 20 games Jordy Nelson has played, he has 19 touchdowns. And it just seems like when in doubt, that's who Aaron Rodgers is throwing to. Randall Cobb's value has been back up, and this is not new. This is now a trend. Got that higher floor that he had a couple of years ago. And another tight end potentially in play this week is Martellus Bennett. It's one of Martellus Bennett's former teams, and Dallas has been yielding pass catches and yardage to opposing tight ends. Houston and Kansas City, a lot to like in this one also. Many of you this week, and I wouldn't blame you, picking up Deshaun Watson, either just to stash him or to stream him. Great idea. He has elevated the value of so many Texans offensively, even Lamar Miller. If you drafted Miller, you've been playing him, but you know you're getting more out of him now. DeAndre Hopkins is producing more simply because Watson is the quarterback. Will Fuller in consideration last couple of weeks on waivers just because of Deshaun Watson. Griffin at tight end, same thing, although I think there are at least a handful of tight ends more in play for a streamer or a daily play than Griffin. Kansas City, I mean, the names here are pretty simple. It's, you know, it's Hunt, it's Hill, it's Kelsey, and then in a two-quarterback league or in daily play or in streaming, it's Alex Smith. There's really nobody else of significance. For those of you picking up Charcandrick West, I don't really know what you're getting excited about. West is just always sort of the next guy, and when they ask him to be the guy, it doesn't last. It's kind of like rushing to the waiver wire this week and using your first claim on Latavius Murray. Sure, he's going to get first opportunity with Dalvin Cook out for the year, but do you really think Murray is going to give the Vikings what Dalvin Cook did? No, he'll probably even split time with McKinnon based on the situation. So is it a Tyreek Hill game or is it a Travis Kelce game? We've been on this all season. This one looks more like a Tyreek Hill game. I'm not saying you're benching Travis Kelce if you own him and you must play a tight end, but I temper expectations for him, for Alex Smith a little bit, and for Hunt a little bit based on the matchup. Tyreek Hill looks like the one that stands out for Kansas City. All right, again, email me any unique questions to your season-long leagues or daily questions. Email ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. That's enough for now. And I have recorded this podcast on Thursday night, actually during the second quarter of the New England-Tampa Bay game, because I want to go out and watch the second half with my friends here in the Tampa Bay area. So any information that happens second half of that game or overnight or Friday morning, factor in when I've recorded the podcast. The podcast was recorded right now, for example, is 9:45 p.m. Eastern time on Thursday night. All right, so give me the benefit of the doubt if information changes after 9:45 p.m. Eastern time on Thursday night, and just use your best judgment. All right, you have my email address. You have every matchup on Sunday. With some thoughts on both sides of the ball. Good luck. And we'll give you another podcast on Monday, reviewing everything from Thursday night and Sunday. We'll touch on the Monday night game and look ahead to waiver wires and other things for next week. Thank you for listening to the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. We'll talk to you next time.